NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mutnansky. Broadcasting from our best yet broadcast studios in Boston. NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, insurance simplified. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. Now here's Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mutnansky.
Hour number three, NFL Sunday, Sports Radio WEEI. No Mutt today. It is Keefe and Fourier. It's a 4:25 kickoff for the 9-4 Patriots against the 7-5-1 Pittsburgh Steelers. Fourier, I know you got to head off to TV in a few minutes here.
Yes, sir.
But we have heard so much about the Malcolm Butler revenge game, the Deion Lewis revenge game, the Danny Amendola revenge game, Mike Vrabel, throw him on the list, a whole bunch of guys. I was unaware that this was going to be as big of a deal as at least this gentleman thinks that it is. That would be Stephen Ridley, former Patriots running back, who was a third-round pick of the Patriots. He was here from 2011 through 2014. So it's been a little while. There's been a handful of running backs since Stephen Ridley. He, of course, I think best known for the guy who would fumble and then Belichick would just bench and never allow to play.
Yeah.
Which was weird because LeGarrette Blount fumbled at a very similar rate to Ridley, yet he would fumble and then go right back in the game, but Ridley would be like glued to the bench after. It was very weird.
Yeah, and a good back, but just
it was fine.
I don't know, just kind of all over the place. Like he'd have like you know glimpses of like you know really taking over games, and then you're like, okay, there's just he kind of moves around too much for me as a back, like carrying the ball real loose, and
yeah,
he's so physical and. It's like it just wasn't his thing. Yeah, I don't know if I would get all caught up in the Stephen Ridley revenge game as much
yeah.
as, you know.
I don't know.
It just doesn't have much, I don't know, there's no teeth to it.
Well, let's hear from Ridley himself, shall we?
Okay. Yeah, let's do
you guys
that.
Write articles, but I'm not going to sit here and shy away from it. Of course, it's my old team, and, you know, it really hasn't set well, and I'm a competitor, you know. So I'm going to compete, and to have this opportunity to be out there on the field and going against my old team, I mean, you can bet it. I mean, I'm fired up about it and excited. It's a challenge that, you know, anybody would want if you play in this business, you know, and competed like I have my whole life. I mean, that's a lot of my boys up there. It's a lot of my teammates. And when I look at it, I think I compete harder against some of my homies than I do people I don't know. So that's just really what it is, man. It's not a jab at them. I'm an honest person. I'm up front. But this game's been circled on the schedule a long time.
Is that true? Is there a lot of his homies still left from 2014? I feel like there's a lot of new guys since then.
I'm trying to remember. Who would be one of his homies?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Brady?
Yeah.
Brady was here. Gronk was here.
Yeah, they're breaking bread together.
I mean, I feel like the team is pretty different. So the 2014, that was the last year he was here. The backfield was LeGarrette Blount, gone. Shane Vereen, gone. Jonas Gray, gone. Brandon Bolden, gone. I think James White, was that James White's rookie year?
So James White was here.
All right, so James White was here. Danny Amendola was on that team, gone. Brandon LaFell was on that team, gone. Kenbrell Tompkins was on that team. Aaron Dobson.
Yeah.
Oh, Manawa Nui. There's nobody left. It's a whole different team. It's Brady and Gronk. And I guess Edelman, right? Brady, Gronk, Edelman. Those are all his homies, I guess.
Yeah.
There's nobody left from that team.
You know, he had some quotes like, I mean, here's one of his quotes right here. It says, obviously, he's like, I was trashed after an injury. It's almost like he thinks that they were just bad-mouthing him. Travis says, I was trashed after an injury. I'm just going to put that away. I'm not going to say specifically, but to be a starter for the Patriots for 4 years, to tear my ACL and never get a call back, that's a tough pill to swallow. So he tore his knee up.
Right.
Remember, it was his free agent year. Like he did this early on. He trained really hard. He's like, all right, I'm going to make my way. I'm going to get paid. It won't be here, but it'll be somewhere else. He tears his knee up, and they just say, you know what? We're done with you.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
I'm not sure he's the Steelers' treasure. He's essentially their fourth-string running back because Le'Veon Bell, we know what happened with him. Then you have James Conner. He's hurt. And then you still have Jalen Samuels, who's going to get more carries today than Ridley. Ridley got a touchdown last week. He had like a one-yard plunge. That was about it. So, I mean, he's making it out to be a whole thing. I don't know.
And that's what he should do. So why can't he be Brandon Bolden?
Brandon Bolden had a monster game. You're right. He could have 2 carries, 60 yards, get in the end zone.
And I would say that's more based on how well they blocked those plays than it would
probably.
be Brandon Bolden himself?
Probably. I would be more concerned about Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster than I would be Stephen Ridley.
How about Jesse James and Vance McDonald?
Sure, add those guys to the list too.
I mean, the one issue they would have is, I mean, just the unknown at running back. I think that is not having James Conner is going to really affect them, and you know, yeah, how much respect do you give their running game.
By the way, so more of Ridley's homies that he has still in New England. This is also 2014. Jamie Collins, Rob Ninkovich, Darrell Revis, Chandler Jones, Kyle Arrington, Gerard Mayo, Vince Wilfork, Logan Ryan, Silver Salinga, Brandon Browner,
Silver Salinga,
Jonathan Casillas, Chris Jones, Akeem Ayers, Tavon Wilson, Malcolm Butler, Alan Branch, Alfonso Dennard. Are any of these guys on the team?
Relax, homie.
Oh, my God. There's no, but there's Dominic Easley was on that team.
Oh, my God.
There's
that's
like
right.
Five carryovers.
Like him and Nate Ebner, you know, BFFs.
Ebner. Maybe it's Ebner. Maybe it is Daron Harmon. Maybe it was. Look at this list. I mean, Nate Solder gone. Like, none of these guys are left. What a dumb guy. Brian Stork was on that team.
He's giving you the standard, you know, answer. Like, you know, the careful cliche answer. It's, you know, that's what he's doing.
But that is weird. And he's even played on two other teams since then. He played on the Jets. Remember, he got that Jets tattoo. Then he played on the Falcons.
Wait, what?
He's got a Jets tattoo?
Yeah, you guys didn't know this?
No.
Oh, yeah. Give that a look up. He has Stephen Ridley. He signed with the New York Jets, right? That was the first team I think he played for right after the Patriots. It was 2015. He was on there. On his forearm, he has a huge Jets logo. It says Jets on it.
The New York J-E-T-E Jets.
He signed a one-year deal, and right after he signed with the Jets, he got a tattoo that says Jets.
That's why you never tattoo your girl's name on your body.
No, you don't.
I tell you what, this is the equivalent of somebody having like daddy issues.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, because
the Patriots are so in his head, huh?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And he really feels like hurt, like, you know, deep down hurt. Like the first team you sign with, you get a freaking tattoo?
Yeah. We're like, I love these guys.
Oh, do you remember that kid?
They committed to you for 1 year.
He's actually in the league now. Is it? I think it's Isaiah Crowell. I'm not even sure. So, in the recruiting process, in high school recruiting process, he committed, I think, to Auburn. He committed to, like, Auburn or Georgia and got, like, a tattoo of that school, then changed his mind before signing day and went to, yeah, so, yeah, it was an Auburn tattoo. He went to Alabama.
No, Crowell did?
Well, I'm not sure who the back was.
Yeah.
But he got a tattoo of the school he was going to. He verbally committed to.
Oh, you think of Reuben Foster?
He changed his mind. Was that who? No.
Yeah, I think so. Auburn, Alabama thing. I think you might be thinking of him.
Okay, all I'm telling you is a story. You need to fill in the blanks.
Well, Drew's producer
is going to go on TV and talk about Paul Mahler is going to be today.
Yeah. No, because your guy Isaiah Crowell went to Alabama State.
But that was after he got kicked out of another SEC school.
No, though. he went to Jacksonville State, I think. Oh, then he went to Georgia for like a minute.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. He basically got kicked out.
All right, so it's another. We'll unearth this. We'll get to the bottom of this tattoo.
Well, like, you just threw out a whole like random story. Like, he got a jet tattoo.
I don't know how random it is. Stephen Ridley has a lot more to do with what we're talking about than Isaiah Crowell does.
It's the Ridley branch off the story.
Game. Not really. We were talking about Ridley. And we're
you're hoarding stories, Keith, is what you're doing.
I want my lifesavers. Ridley's played for two other teams, is my point. This is his third team since the Patriots. And I just, it's one thing if he was like the one guy the Patriots, you know, never brought back. Think about all the guys they cut or traded away that were more significant than him. It's like he thinks he's Ty Law or Richard Seymour or Lawyer Malloy. Like, you were fine. You had one productive year. And even then, I was never convinced he was good. It was his second year. He had 1,200 yards rushing, 12 touchdowns. But it was more of you were just the back on that offense than anything else.
Yeah, there's some deep-seated emotional closure that he needs.
He's not going to get it today.
And I think that you could again, so think about all the different, like, scenarios and, like, you know, stories, like the Steelers being desperate. I mean, just there are lots of issues defensively. Mike Tomlin, and then you have, like, you know, Stephen Ridley trying to prove a point, right? I can just see him struggling and fighting for an extra yard.
Fumble.
And then just pop.
Oh,
there goes the ball.
Oh, that would be the classic Ridley revenge game, would be him fumbling.
I don't want to see that.
No, that would be sad almost.
That would be sad. How important is
it's going to happen, though. Put it down. Put it down for sure. Steven Ridley fumble, and then Belichick's going to have to do all he can not to just laugh on the sidelines.
He'll be one of the guys that he looks for. Where's Ridley at? Where is he?
I got to go say Ridley. Hey.
Give me a quick hug. Yeah.
Thanks for the fumble. Really could have used it.
Thanks for that. We knew you'd pay off eventually. We didn't think it would be this way, but it still works.
Last week against Oakland, Ridley had 5 carries for 4 yards and a touchdown.
That's a good average.
Had a touchdown, though.
He's a man of impact.
I don't know if he is.
Not substance. He's going to touchdown.
Breaking all kinds of tattoo 101 rules. The guy does not think about stuff before he puts it on his body for the rest of his life.
Now, see, I don't hate it as much as everybody else does because he did play for the Jets. Right? He was on the team. You're in the NFL. That's kind of cool enough.
You should never get a tattoo. Would you get a WEEI tattoo?
I would certainly not.
Females' names, like significant others, sports teams,
but it's more
bands.
It's more impressive to play for the Jets than it is to work at WEEI.
Speak for yourself.
No offense to anybody. Although I guess there are more people on the Jets than work at EEI.
I think we should all
so
get
maybe
like
not.
A letter.
Maybe this is a tougher job to get.
Who's to say? W, I'll get an E, Ryan will get an E, Mud will get an I.
Oh, then we all stand
next
to
each other. We'll take our shirts off, and in the back it'll say WEEI.
I like it. I think it'll work.
All right, I got
to
get going.
All right, you go to TV.
I'll be back.
Thank you for it. We're looking forward to that. We'll have more on Stephen Ridley when Fourier gets back. Tom E. Kern will join us here coming up. I still can't get over the comment Ridley saying he's got so many guys that he knows. It's like, you really don't. Like, year to year, like the Patriots, you remember when we compared the 14 roster just to the 16 roster? It was pretty different. And now you go to the 18 roster, I'm like, you might only know 5 or 6 guys left.
I like the idea that he announces to everybody, well, I play better against my homies than I do against the rest of the team.
It's like, so what, the Jets? I can't imagine the 2015 Jets, they probably have nobody left from that team. That's probably gone. And then the Falcons, he was on the Falcons for a game. He played 1 game for the Falcons in 16.
Well, the more teams that you play for, that way make more friends.
Good point.
And then when you're on your next team, you're going to play better against them. It's just the odds keep going up and up that you're going to have a better game.
No, that's true. And now he is the 4th string running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I didn't even think of that till today, though. He's definitely going to fumble. And then he's going to be like, remember the guy David Wilson, the running back for the Giants?
He was a
first-round pick from Virginia Tech, I want to say. Everybody was all excited about him. His first game, he fumbled, went to the bench, cried on the sideline. And at that point, you're like, he cried. And you're like, your career's over.
I just remember
Steven. And I believe it had. I think it is over.
Steven Ridley was the guy that got knocked out on a kick return against the Ravens. That's my long-lasting memory of him just arm to the side. Loses the ball.
They brought in Ridley and Vereen together, and it was like, all right, here's the new backs of the future. You have the runner, you have like the in between the tackles guy, then you have the guy who's going to catch all the passes. And Ridley was fine. Like, he had that 1 year where he was pretty good, but nothing special.
And Vereen latched on because he was just a more
he was good. He was actually
player.
He was actually very useful, especially in that Super Bowl.
Well, you kind of have now what. Maybe they wanted back in 14 with Sony Michel and James White out there.
Yeah, this should
be better.
You're between
the tackles guy, and you got your catch receiving back.
You would hope that Sony Michel is better than Steven Ridley, but to this point,
only marginally.
Yeah, I mean,
he
is
better. Marginal improvement. Right. I mean, right. I know he is a first round pick and everything, but
yeah,
so running back in the 2018 NFL, unless you're the Ravens, and then by all means, give us every good running back that you have.
Right. And then, so David Wilson, just to close the loop on that, he was a first-round pick by the New York Giants in 2012. He played in a total of 21 games, already out of the league. And he cried first night.
All he needed was like his David Tyree moment, because I think Tyree had about as many games in a Giants uniform.
And he got
a book out of it.
But he got a book, a lot of memorable moments.
More than just the catch.
He can go to Comic-Cons. No, he can do signings there. He can find sports memorabilia through the roof. David Wilson, not nearly as much. All right, when we come back, we'll be joined by Tom E. Kern from NBC Sports Boston. This is NFL Sunday, Sports Radio, WEEI.
You're listening to NFL Sunday. Let's get back to it on Sports Radio WEEI.
Back here on NFL Sunday, time now to talk with Tom E. Kern. He's brought to you by Dr. Robert Leonard and Dr. Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of Tom E. Kern at 1-800-GET-HAIR. Tom E., how are you, sir?
What's up, buddy? Just you and me?
Just you and me. Just shooting the breeze, talking football. What do you think of that? Pretty good.
I don't like it.
No, you don't like it.
Yes, I do. Just you and I.
Oh, there it is. That's
yep,
nice.
I like it.
You know, some have said Tommy Kern, the songbird of our generation.
There's a lot to be said, yeah.
I've heard Stevie
that before. Stevie Nicks and I, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Stevie Nicks and then me.
Right there afterwards. Now, we were talking right before Fourier had to leave for TV, how apparently this has turned into the Stephen Ridley revenge game. What are your fondest memories of Stephen Ridley?
I think it was the velour onesie that he wore in the locker room that time.
Yeah, okay.
With the dinosaur backpack.
Remember that, yeah.
Yep, I think that was probably the highlight of Stephen Ridley. Not a bad player. Went to LSU.
Yeah.
He got his shoulders squared. He would make yards for you.
Yeah, he's fine.
It just, you know, I think also, unfortunately, it was ball handling. Got knocked out against Baltimore, not his fault, dropped it. Got knocked out against Pittsburgh on the sidelines once, dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he kind of shot them in the foot in Carolina in 2013 with an early fumble. And that was the game that they didn't call the pass interference on Kuechly at the end. So
right.
And I remember saying to Brady that week, I'm like, wow, that's tough defense. Because what are you talking about, tough? We went up and down the field on them.
You're like, oh, yeah, well, that's what I meant. I said, you know, good for you guys for
well,
pulling that off.
The fumbles, they were tough with the fumble.
Takeaways. They're coming up with big takeaways is what it was. But, yeah, so, I mean, he was here for 4 years. It was funny because one of his other comments, and we don't have to spend a lot of time on Ridley, but one of his other comments was how he knows so many guys in that locker room. And I was going through the list. I'm like, they don't have a lot of guys left from when he was here.
No, and I don't really think he has an outstanding gripe as to have been poorly treated here. Blew his ACL. They won a Super Bowl. Yes, it's a running back by committee, and they brought Deion Lewis in from Uranus, and the next year he looked like Barry Sanders. I've never seen such an electric running back over a five-game period in my life.
Yeah.
That includes Barry Sanders. So they made the right choice, and I understand his angst about it, but to me, it's an interesting jumping-off point because if we're going to talk about Ridley, that means we're not talking about Connor, which obviously we're not talking about Bell.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots have had serious difficulties stopping the run, especially in the last couple of weeks. But Pittsburgh is first, foremost, and last a throwing team. Will they alter what they do to try and take advantage of that shortcoming the Patriots have, or are they just going to be, as they've always been, we're a do-what-we-do football team?
Right. Well, I mean, and, you know, Dalvin Cook, I thought, could have had a monster game against them a couple weeks ago, but Minnesota, back when they had their old offensive coordinator, thought, nah, let's not, you know, even though we're running really great. Miami ran well against them. I just wonder if Jalen Samuels and Stephen Ridley can even run against them. So even if they say, we're going to do it, like, are they even good enough to exploit the Patriots' run defense?
Look at Philip Lindsay. Undrafted out of Colorado. He's one of the better running backs in the league this year.
Yeah.
Anybody can run. If you're in decent enough shape and play NFL running back, it's not really you.
It's crazy, isn't
it? Oftentimes the line. It's the guys, you know, who can make yardage after the first three steps. And that's why I think Michelle is obviously better than Cordarrelle Patterson and in some ways better than, you know, Rex Burkhead. Is he can make yards once he gets to the linebacker level. So Brandon Bolden didn't have trouble making yards once he got to the linebacker level. So
if
I was Pittsburgh, I would alter what I'm doing a little bit, but I just don't think they're shrewd enough to do that.
So going back to Sony Michel, I mean, if you're saying Philip Lindsay undrafted, having a great year, Sony Michel a first round pick, are you in the camp that you shouldn't take running backs in the first round?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of. You know, especially, you know, Sony Michel's got. The more you look at that, Rich, I think the more you say that's value. That's a player who had medical red flags, but he was so electric to them. They said, you know what? He's too good.
Mm-hmm.
He's like Gronk. We're almost in the second round. It's a dice roll, yes, but we'll do it. And they did it, and he's been a good pickup for them. His window's going to be small. He's probably a better player than Philip Lindsay. If Philip Lindsay was here, I'm sure that he wouldn't be as good as Michelle, but he'd certainly be serviceable. The question is, where else would you have gone? I would have gone tight end.
Mm.
I would have found a way to get Roquan Smith at the linebacker position, or Rashad Evans, who isn't making huge headway in Tennessee, but tight end depth, especially for 2019 going forward, not just depth, but frontline stuff. And then linebacker speed are two areas that are still standout problems.
Now, this Patriots-Steelers has been a one-sided rivalry. I mean, as good as Roethlisberger is, as good as the record the Steelers have had, it doesn't seem to matter where the game is played or if it's regular season or postseason. The Patriots have dominated. Why is there a simple reason as to why that is?
I think it's a matchup style thing. Styles make fights.
Yep.
Old friend Rod Borges used to say, and the aggressive style of the Steelers, the do-what-we-do nature of the Steelers, as opposed to the game-plan nature of the Patriots, where they're going to morph week in and week out and take advantage of your weaknesses. They know when the right hand is coming, so they duck and they, you know, throw the counter left. They
right.
know what the Steelers are going to do defensively. Now, today they're going to blitz, you know, and if Brady, and I did notice in the second half last week after so much conversation about why he was had such a precipitous drop-off. To me, he became apprehensive about the rush, and that led to some of the inaccuracy. Mm. If he can stand in against real or imagined pressure, and some of it was imagined last week, then they'll be fine. He'll shred them. If he can't, then it might turn into a little bit more of a rock fight, but my guess is he'll be able to.
We're talking with Tommy Kern from NBC Sports Boston. What is the better wide receiver duo? Is it Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, who they faced a couple of weeks ago, or is it Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster?
It's this one. It's Brown and Schuster. I mean, Schuster's probably better than Diggs, where they're side by side.
Okay.
And Brown is a thousand. No, not a thousand. Brown is much better than
Brown's the best. Oh, yeah, Brown's the best probably in the league. I mean, I know DeAndre Hopkins is right up there, especially after watching him again last night. I mean, that guy's insane.
Julio Jones can certainly make the claim as well. But, I'm with you. Those three guys, and Antonio Brown, I don't know if he's going to end up in the Hall of Fame, but this three- or four-year stretch that he's had, comparable to anybody.
What do you do? He's insane what he can do. What do you do? I mean, it's probably not one thing all game, but what do you think is the best bet that we'll see the Patriots throw at Antonio Brown?
I would think double him.
Yeah.
So you put Jason McCourty and whoever else over the top, his brother or, Daron Harmon, whoever it ends up with. And then I would single up Schuster. You can play man against these guys because you don't have to worry about Ben Roethlisberger taking off for a 15-20-yard gain. And that's one of the things that when you play man against a Deshaun Watson or a Josh Allen, when you're playing man, your back's turned to the line of scrimmage, a cornerback, and the next thing you know, the guy's taken off and you don't know it.
Mm.
So you can play man against Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers, which I think wouldn't be a horrible idea. What do you think on that?
Yeah, I think the same. I liked when they've done that over the years where they put their second corner and a safety on the best receiver, and then they put their best corner on the second receiver. I like that. Gilmore, Smith-Schuster, I think that'd be a good matchup.
Going into this game, I wonder where your take. I hate saying take, but I wonder where your
opinion
is on this.
I'll give you a take. What's the narrative,
we'll go back
Tom?
To opinion.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That guy just gets it. Oh, boy, we have fun.
We do.
Well, I think that last week's game has the potential to catch the Patriots' attention and really galvanize them in terms of acting as a propulsion, as opposed to we spent a lot of the week talking about how much damage would it do, that kind of a loss.
Yeah.
They gave seven away. They left at least six on the field with the end of half foolishness and the missed field goal, probably 10.
And a mixed extra point,
And the missed extra point.
Yeah.
So that should have been a blowout. That was Brady's most competent and confident game of the season. You have completely fixable defensive issues with the running game, I would think. Which Belichick, when I said, can you fix it? Because I hope so.
Yeah.
So I would hope they can fix that.
So I'm getting paid for. Yeah.
So all of that seems like preventable mistakes. They're coming off a really good performance that they lost in because of stupidity that is not going to be repeated. They've won 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
they're healthy as hell. I mean, there's
super healthy
in the injury report. This to me feels like they could go down there and kick the absolute hell out of them.
It's on the road, though. They haven't looked good on the road all year.
I know, but it's just, again, and that would add another layer.
Yeah.
You know what? Can we cut the S with the road stuff?
Yeah, seriously. Right.
Play
right.
Like we're supposed to play. And the opportunity is there, and I don't want to overstate it, but in years past, this would be the kind of game where the Patriots would say, you know what? Let's get our S together, and let's just do this because we're certainly capable, and let's stop playing down and wondering what's wrong with us and being fixated. Let's just go be us.
I mean,
and I think by now they should know who they are.
Both teams are coming off of a weird loss. Right? I mean, they lost to the Steelers lost to the Raiders, for God's sakes.
Yeah, but they suck. They legitimately are not. They're just so dysfunctional. They have much talent.
They do. And that's why
smartest kid in the class coming home with 71s all the time.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I asked this question to Fourier. I think it blew his mind earlier. That's why he had to leave. Would you rather Tom E. Kern have Tom Brady and Mike Tomlin or Ben Roethlisberger and Bill Belichick?
Ben Roethlisberger and Bill Belichick.
Yeah, me too. And I think just because the coaching gap is more significant than the quarterback gap, right?
Well, I think that you can maintain a level of respect. I think what Belichick has talked about over the years, what Mike McCarthy has talked about over the years, is the challenge of coaching a great quarterback is to mentally make it new for them all the time. And I don't think it's new for Ben Roethlisberger. I think, you know, he's got that just sling it mentality. Why does he have that?
Yeah.
Because he's punched out on trying to get better.
Right.
Belichick had Roethlisberger, he'd be a hell of a lot better player than he is. Of course, Tomlin would probably be a better coach, and I think Brady would love to throw to Smith-Schuster and Emmanuel Sanders and Martavis Bryant and
right. All those guys.
That
I know
litany
it.
Of talent.
Yeah, that's true. So lastly, are you going with the blowout? I know you're kind of alluding to it. You think it's going to be a big win or no?
No, and I hedged my bets with a 31-27 Patriots, but
okay.
I can say if they blow them out, you know, I kind of had a feeling.
You were in there on that. Yeah, you get credit for that.
I had a feeling out here.
All right, Tom, thanks so much. Have a great rest of your Sunday. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, buddy. We'll see you later on the TV.
All right, sounds good. Yes, watch Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. They got their pregame show. They got the postgame show. All of that stuff here today. Again, it's a 4:25 kick. Patriots at Pittsburgh. Because that's the other thing. Is it going to be the road Patriots from 2018, or is it just going to be Patriots versus Steelers from any year? And Pittsburgh's really not that good. Like, Tom's right. Like, they got talent, but they're not very good. I don't know what it, they have no running backs today. Their defense is very middle of the pack. So I would expect the Patriots to win. The only thing I have pause about the whole thing is they lost at Miami. They lost at Tennessee. They lost at Detroit. They lost at Jacksonville. Their road wins are Chicago, which actually looks like a better win now, the way Chicago's playing, and then at Buffalo and at the Jets. So this has been a bad, bad road team.
Do their losses still look worse with Detroit and Jacksonville based on how those two teams look?
Yeah, those are terrible. 15? Those are terrible. All the losses are terrible. Like, what's the best loss? Like, hey, well, that's a good team. No, it's not.
Maybe
Tennessee.
The
yeah, they. If, but Tennessee, they all their losses, there's a good chance, are to all non-playoff teams, which is bizarre. And then all the playoff teams, Houston, Indy, Kansas City, Chicago, they beat all of them. I don't know about Minnesota, but
for whatever reason, these teams, it's like their Super Bowl in week two and week three, and they beat the Patriots, and they go, okay,
then they
we're coasting.
Then they're done.
Like, if you're a Dolphins fan, forget it. Your team is not going to make the playoffs as a sixth seed because they beat the Patriots.
Well, and then Miami is at Minnesota today, so Minnesota could win by 20. Right, because Miami they had a crazy win, and now they have to go on the road to Minnesota, and it's a huge game for the Vikings. So that's a big spread. So I think it's 7.5, but I would still take Minnesota. Those games, it'd be a good thing to look up is teams that beat the Patriots. What's their record the next week, or even the several weeks after? Like, it's like that's it.
Oh,
like,
you could see it.
I mean, the Jaguars were ridiculous. The Jaguars
they
are
were the team. They're going to go back. Yeah. They're it's a changing of the guards. And oh wait, no.
No, it's not.
We forgot we're still the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Because remember Miles Jack was saying it was the biggest game of their of his career.
This was
the biggest game of their career. The Tennessee one was pretty funny too, because so they get the big win over the Patriots. The next 2 weeks, smoked by the Colts, smoked by Houston. Now they've won their last two to get back in the playoff race, but they beat the Patriots. They were 5-4, and then they just got absolutely torched the next 2 weeks. So yeah, there's definitely an effect. So I would take Minnesota if you're looking at something there, because Miami. I mean, this is a crazy week, and just and not only did they beat the Patriots, but the way they beat the Patriots. So then you're going to follow that up. I don't think they're going to do very well. So we'll have much more on Patriots and Steelers. Also, apparently, we got some keys out of Pittsburgh. Keys to the game.
Keefe's keys?
But no, unfortunately,
not Keefe's keys.
No, Tunch's keys.
It doesn't
make any sense
doesn't
at all.
That radio catchiness, Tunch's, that great alliteration.
No alliteration. Doesn't rhyme.
You do Tunch's takes.
Tunch's takes makes a lot more sense. Look at that. You thought about it for 2 seconds and you have a better idea. So we'll find out what Pittsburgh. I guess Tunch Ilkin is a former Steeler.
Indeed he is.
I mean, I don't follow it as closely.
I bet Fourier knows.
It's not Barry Foster. I remember Barry Foster. Nice running back for them. Neil O'Donnell.
All these guys were before my time.
Yeah, well, that's like 90s.
Tunch was a stud.
Tunch is
in the
way
80s.
Before me. Yeah, Tunch is before me. But we'll find out what they think the keys are to beating the Patriots. Plus, your phone calls here. We're here until 1 o'clock, 617-779-7937. Fourier will be rejoining us here shortly as well. It's NFL Sunday, Sports Radio, WEEI.
NFL Sunday with Fourier, Mutt, and Keefe is presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, insurance simplified. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. Back to NFL Sunday on Sports Radio WEEI.
Rich Keefe, what is going to be a couple of keys for the Boston Celtics to get a win here tonight?
And now, Dale and Keefe present.
What are your two keys tonight?
Keefe presents.
So you're basically listing like 10 things, and out of those 10, 4 of them come correct. And you're like, see, I told you.
Keefe's keys.
Today's keys to the game.
Keefe's keys.
Time for the keys to the game.
Keys to tonight's game.
Who's going
to
win?
Probably one of the worst segments I've ever heard on Boston Radio.
Only the keys can tell.
There's your key right there.
Keefe's keys.
It's Keefe's keys.
Keefe, I think I'm going to quit my Nesson job if this ever happens again.
Back here on NFL Sunday, sorry to get everybody's hopes up. We're not doing Keefe's keys. It is probably the most popular segment here on WEEI. We're not doing it today, but the reason we even bring it up is apparently Pittsburgh has stolen this idea for keys to the game, but they're doing it with a gentleman named Tunch Ilkin.
Yep, that's right.
Now, I mean, I'm sure many of you are familiar with Tunch. I am not. He played for the Steelers, Ryan, you said, from 80 to 92?
80 to 92, right. And then he had a cup of coffee in Green Bay to close out an illustrious career.
Good for him. He is now apparently working for the Steelers. And so at Steelers on Twitter, tweeted out, hashtag Tunch's keys. Terrible.
Hey everybody, I'm Tunch Ilkin with my three keys to the game.
Three
brought
keys.
To you by your neighborhood Ford store.
He's got a sponsor. What the hell? And Sweet Sounder. This is pretty good. All right, dive right in, Tunch. So Tunch has a sponsor, first of all, so good for him. But it's a terrible name. It's not catchy. You're not going to remember Tunch's keys.
Okay, so we'll call it 1-1 between you and Tunch. He's
keys,
got the
keys.
Sponsor, but you got the alliteration in the name.
Yes, the name, better for me. He has a sponsor, so that's an advantage
for
him.
So he's actually helping the station or whatever format that he's on.
We might be able to get it sponsored not to do it. On Keefe's keys. There's a chance of that.
Maybe like a lock maker's like,
yeah.
We'll pay you not to do it.
Well, like, listen, don't ever do it again. And here, just you read our thing. So he also has a nice little sound effects early on. So they have a whole production team, obviously, behind Tunch's keys. And he's telling you right now, 3. I usually go more than 3. I oftentimes go maybe 33. But he has 3. Let's find out what they are.
Key number 1. On the defensive side of the ball, you've heard this said over and over and over again about Tom Brady and the New England Patriots offense. You can't stop them. You can only hope to slow them down.
Love
that.
So
key number 1 is you got to slow them down. And it starts with...
So key number 1 is slow down the Patriots offense?
I think that's a great point to bring up.
Tom Brady can't stop them, but you can slow them. So that's what he's going with there. So slow down the Patriots offense. I guess. So that's number 1.
It sounds like you're getting a little envious of.
I'm not.
Normally, you're like, here's a great fact about like Pittsburgh gas prices on.
I do like those
odd days.
I mean, it's Heinz Field. There's got to be a good catch-up fact in there. It would have been easy, but no, he's going slow down the Patriots' offense. Seems like a little bit of a snore. But
maybe that will be number two.
Could be.
You want to hear number two?
I would love to.
Key number two is stop the run. I know I say that all the time.
Wait a minute,
but it is.
Hold on a second. So you can't stop. I guess you can't stop the offense, but you can stop the run. So slowing down the offense and stopping the run, aren't they the exact same key?
Well, I know. I mean,
isn't it the same key?
Yeah, I think it is, but Tunch says this all the time.
Oh, that is a classic
but
Tunch key.
There has to be a good reason for why he is always saying it, especially
yeah.
this
okay.
week.
Key number two is stop the run. I know I say that all the time.
All the time.
But it is. If you stop the run, you make them one-dimensional, you have a much better spot. Sony Michel, the rookie running back, he's compact, he's fast, he's got nice shift to him, he runs low, and he's very physical. The one thing about him, though, is he's better out on the perimeter.
You know what? He's not wrong. He's not good short yardage. He's not good. He runs right into Shaq Mason every time and falls down.
He's better out on the perimeter.
I guess. He's kind of hyping up Sony Michel, though. I think he's probably just seen the highlights there. But he always says stop the run, particularly this week. You're going up against Sony Michel. You got to stop.
Every time Tunch said, you got to stop the run.
Yes. Stop the run. Not nearly as exciting about, you know, some of the old Pittsburgh facts or things like that, or, you know, the Steel City, anything like that would have been maybe better.
Maybe like a state bird kind of tie-in.
Yes. Thank you. But no, nothing. All right. What else does he have?
And key number three, a lot of people would probably want me to say it as key number one, is you got to stop Gronk.
These are all defense has to stop the offense. They're all the same thing. Each one. So he has three keys: slow the offense, stop the run, stop Gronk.
Which, I mean,
he needs to play well.
No, defense needs to stop Gronk.
Stop Gronk. That should have been the first key.
Stop Gronk, but slow down Tom Brady.
I don't know, Tunch. I don't know about this.
Key number three, a lot of people will probably want me to say it as key number one, is you got to stop Gronk. When you look at Gronk, they move him around. It's kind of a Where's Waldo type offense.
What?
He's going to line up at wide receiver. He's going to line up at the slot. He's going to line up at tight end. He's going to line up at H-back. They move him all over the place.
They
want to get the...
He lines up at H-back?
When
does Gronk do that? He lines up as tight end. He lines up as a receiver, as a slot receiver.
When Gronk is on the field, it really is like, where's Waldo?
Where is he? Where is this guy?
How can you find a guy that's 6 foot seven, 275 pounds, his giant hamburger helper gloves?
Well, I
struggle.
Where is he? I lost him. I lost him. Where is
he?
He's hiding behind the line. I can't see Gronk. Time out. We don't know where Gronk is. Hold on. Don't run the play. We can't find Gronk. But that also goes to show how stupid and boring a lot of other teams are. If he's talking about Gronk, like, they don't line him up in the same spot every time. That was like, for years, Marvin Harrison for the Colts lined up on one side, Reggie Wayne lined up on the other. That was it. Every time. He ran every spot. I forget if it was left or right, but that's what it was. And so now Gronk, they move him around. Christian Fourier is back here with us. We're just going through Tunch Ilkin's
keys.
What do you think of Tunch Ilkin? Do you know Tunch Ilkin? No. Okay.
Turducken? Is it like a
exactly
really, right?
We're going over his keys for you. His keys to a Pittsburgh victory are: slow down the offense, the Patriots offense. Stop the run. Stop Gronkowski.
Ooh.
Who do you think of those? These? Tunch Ilkin.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tunch Ilkin with my three keys to the game.
And he's got a sponsor. This son of a gun. This son of a gun.
He's legit then.
Yeah. Oh, he's the real deal. This is. They tweeted it from @Steelers. He played for the Steelers back in the 80s.
Okay.
Do we have the rest of the Gronk take, or was that was that the end of it?
One is you got to stop Gronk.
Gronk.
When you look at Gronk, they move him around. It's kind of a Where's Waldo type offense. He's going to line up at wide receiver. He's going to line up at the slot. He's going to line up at tight end. He's going to line up at H-back. They move him all over the place. They want to get the favorable matchup. When you play against Gronk, you've got to be physical against him. Make sure he doesn't get a free release off the line of scrimmage. Jam him and keep jamming him. I'd rather take the illegal chuck penalty than the completion way down the field. And then when he catches the ball, rough him up. You do these three things.
There you go.
These three keys.
Three keys.
And the Steelers will win at Heinz Field versus the New England Patriots.
They were all defense.
I'm joking, and those
Thanks,
are my three keys.
All right, Tunch, we got it loud and clear. So he says to slow down Gronk. Now, thanks to Boston Sports Info on Twitter, They have Tom Brady versus Mike Tomlin Steelers in the regular and postseason when targeting receivers who are on the active roster. So it's just anytime it's been Brady versus Tomlin, Rob Gronkowski, for example, has been targeted 50 times. He has 40 catches for 664 yards, 8 touchdowns. One pass directed to him was intercepted. Quarterback rating of 150.
That's some good percentages still.
80% catch rate when throwing to Gronk. More. Yeah, you got to jam. Well, I do kind of agree with him on the jamming part. Miami was like, let him run. He's fine.
Yeah, what harm can he do?
Well, he's got to be
let
fine.
Him go. We'll figure it out later.
Brady's numbers are off the charts, too, against Pittsburgh. Like, no matter how you slice him, he just he dominates Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I agree with almost everything you said. Like, and that's with any great tight end that, you know, like anyone, like just physically, you need two guys. If you aren't going to rough them up at the point of attack, then you have one guy who's like 3 yards off. He redirects them, and the other guy, because you slow him down, then the other guy has the ability. He's usually playing behind him, you know, has the ability to kind of gather himself, and you know, has a greater chance of catching the football. Most definitely. People are dumb not to do that.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't know why.
I'm joking, and those are my three keys to the game.
Tunch around something here. You jam them at the line. The other one on the flip side, we're talking with Tommy Kern about it, is just how good Antonio Brown is. And if you're the Patriots, they've faced him a bunch of times as well. What do you do? What do you think the best way for a guy like that? Because you look at some of the other great receivers in the league, like he's different than Julio Jones. He's different than some of these bigger receivers, but he could beat you like 1,000 different ways. So what would you do?
Rough him up.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
If you get your hands on him.
To me, it's almost like you're almost okay with him, like catching like a 15 yard out. You're okay with him because he's going to get his.
Right.
What you don't want him to do is that big, you know, dagger in the heart type of big play. Like if I'm okay with him ending the game with 12 catches for 150 yards, totally fine with it.
Really?
I think
a lot of yards.
Totally fine with it. As long as, like, you want to do that between the 20s, go ahead.
Right.
Be my guest. Like, okay, that's fine. Because I almost feel like that's bound to happen.
Well, how else are they going to get yards? I mean, they have no running game. No, without James Conner, they got nothing back there.
Yeah, and I feel like Antonio Brown's, he's done that before. He's had big games. But when you look at it, it's like, okay, well, yeah, he had a big game, but he didn't really, you know, do the damage that you thought that he would do. He had yardage, he had catches, but he didn't have 3 touchdowns. He didn't necessarily change the game. He got his stats, but you know, in the end, you know, they still couldn't beat you. So those big plays, okay, fine. Have your way. You know, we know that's going to be a possibility. But when we get closer into the goal line, when things are a little bit tougher, every throw has to be a little bit more precise. And you aren't the big physical guy, so you better beat us with speed and with your scheme. So, and I'll take the Patriots' chances on that. And you'll be really proud of me across the street.
I think
you're running on that.
Yeah, of course. Running on all of it. Now, according to my research, Antonio Brown has played against the Patriots 6 times. He himself is 1-5. They won the first game, in fact. The first game that he ever played against the Patriots, he had 9 catches for 67 yards and a touchdown. The second time he faced them, they got blown out, but he had 5 for 71 and a touchdown. Then they lost in 2015, and he had 9 catches for 133 yards and a touchdown. They lost again in 2016. He had 7 catches for 106 yards.
There you go.
Then in 17, actually, then that year they played in the playoffs, and he had 7 for 77. And then the last time they faced him was last year in the regular season. He only had 2 catches for 24 yards. So if you look at
it, that was really the first time they actually shut him out.
Only time they did.
Yeah.
Every other time he had a good game.
And that's what I remember of Antonio Brown. Like, he always has good games.
Yeah.
It just doesn't mean anything.
Right. Yeah, like, go ahead. Like, move it. And then especially with the Patriots, some of those teams, you know, they would give up a lot of yards during the season anyway, but they didn't give up a ton of points. Like, some of the, you know what I mean? And that's how they've been able to, for years, kind of do it. Like, they get down to the red zone, then they get tough.
And for most teams, like, okay, it's the secondary and the third guy that really kills you. It's the matchup between Patrick Chung and the tight end. It's Smith-Schuster against whoever that cornerback would be. They have no running back now, so really you're just, you know, you're kind of, you know, obviously at a disadvantage, and that just makes it so much – the stress level that used to occur with that team, with all the weapons that they had, you know, not having a back there is so much – you're so much, you know – you just feel better about yourself.
Oh, my God. Like, Le'Veon Bell obviously was one thing. And a lot of these wins came when they had Le'Veon Bell. But then even James Conner, you're like, all right, he's not Bell, but he's giving you something. Like, he's pretty productive. And now the drop-off to Samuels and Ridley, at least after watching it last week, not nearly as good.
Not going
to
be the same.
No, it's just not. All right, we got an hour left here of the program. I want to ask Fourier, at this point of the season, what is the Patriots' biggest strength, and also what is their biggest weakness? We'll do that, and we can take your phone calls here coming up. It's Keith and Fourier, NFL Sunday, Sports Radio, WEEI.